Well, good evening. Good to see you tonight. Trust that you had a great afternoon, and good to be together in the house of the Lord tonight, and trust that we'll have a good time together. And we want to start off by singing tonight, "I'm on the winning side." So let's stand together as we sing, "I'm on the winning side." Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. From the straight and narrow way I was drifting every day, out upon the waters deep and wide. But it is all over now, glory light is on my brow, and my soul is on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out of sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave Him full control, and He placed me on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, I thank You so much for the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank You that when You saved us, You placed us on the winning side. And I thank You that we can live in victory every day. You have made it possible for us, and we trust that in our everyday life that truly we are living in that victory. And we thank You for the great truth tonight from Your word that teaches us that Jesus Christ not may come again, but will come again. And we thank You for that. And I ask that You would speak to our hearts, not only those that are here, but those that are listening through Facebook, that You would just minister to each and every heart. For those precious souls that do not know Jesus as Savior, may this be the night that they would come to know Him. And may we as Your people just be encouraged as we look into Your word and as we, if You would, look up, because our redemption draws nigh. So we ask that You would minister to each and every one of our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Let's sing this next song, Here Is Love, Vast As the Ocean. Just a second till we get the song up there. And while that song is coming up, let me just give you a few announcements. Remember now, our offering is the box is right at the back there, and avail yourself of that opportunity as we're not passing the offering plate at this time. And then also make sure you pick up your baby bottle, and this is the baby bottle boomerang time for the Women and Teens Crisis Pregnancy Center, and trust that you'll remember that now and get one of those. And then on May 31st, we're going to be having Graduation Sunday, and T.J. Sleff will be honoring him. And then we have also Tori Newsom. We'll be honoring her as she has graduated this year as well. And so we'll be honoring those two individuals on that day. Then also I'm excited to announce that starting next Sunday, our summer intern, Brady Dalton, will begin his ministry here with us, ministering through music, ministering through outreach with our young people here in our church, teenagers and our children. And of course, all of those are going to be gradually coming on board as far as the actual start of those ministries. But he'll be ministering and helping us out in other ways. And so we'll look forward to that. Excuse me. And so that he'll be here starting next Sunday, and we'll look forward to his ministry among us. Remember now, this upcoming Wednesday night, as we continue our series on lessons learned in adversity. I know many of you have been listening to those on Wednesday nights, but we will continue that. Go right through the book of Philippians. A lot of lessons that we can learn in times of adversity. And so keep that in mind if you would. All right, let's sing our song now. Here is love vast as the ocean. Loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven. Let me hold thy love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. Thou alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me, direct me by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting as I trust in thee, my Lord. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me, without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee. Let's go back to that last verse there that we just sang, and I want us to sing it tonight without this last verse again, without the piano. Go back to the last verse, Josh. Thou alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. And just start us off there a little bit and then drop out if you would. Shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me, thou thyself hast set me free. In thy truth thou dost direct me, by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting, as I trust in thee, my Lord. Amen, amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We have been going through a series on Sunday evenings on divine disruptions. And we have been looking at how God speaks to the world, or God speaks to individuals during times of divine disruptions. And tonight we want to look at a divine disruption, and it is about the rapture of the church, or the rapture of the believer. Now you say, Pastor, that isn't a disruption for us. Well, in one sense, you're correct. Because for the rapture of the believer, that is our blessed hope, where we are taken out of this world into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after that time occurs, the Bible talks about a time of tribulation that will come upon the world, a time of 7 years. By the way, that time will make this time that we're going through, this pandemic, as they call it, it'll make this time look like a Sunday school picnic. It will be a time of great disruption, that time of 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. Now, we as God's people are not looking toward the tribulation period. We are looking toward the rapture, or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take us out of this world and into his presence. And so tonight we want to look at this particular divine disruption. Years ago, there was a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. He was a one-time slave trader, was converted, became a great preacher and a hymn writer in the Church of England. 2 years before his death in 1807, he was so weak that he could hardly stand in the pulpit. In fact, someone had to support him as he preached. Shortly before he died, when he was confined to his room and unable to move, he told a friend, quote, I am like a person going on a journey in a stagecoach who expects its arrival every hour and is frequently looking out the window for it. I am packed and sealed and ready for the post. And that's how I feel about the rapture of the church, that we are packed, we're sealed, we are now ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we see in this context here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's read it and then we will look at some main points tonight from it. He says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 and 2 Thessalonians were written to instruct and encourage some Thessalonian believers who were disturbed about their loved ones who had died. There was some false teaching that had gone around even in that time that basically had said that Jesus Christ had already come, you're already in the time of the day of the Lord, you're already in the time of the tribulation period. Paul had to write these two letters to give them some instruction to help them understand that they were not there yet, that Jesus Christ had not yet come. In fact, when you read 1 Thessalonians, each chapter concludes with something about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that here in verse number 13, they were enduring or going through some problems. You will find, he says, I will not have you to be ignorant, because they were sorrowing. He says, yes, we do sorrow when our loved ones in Christ pass from this life to the next. You know, we miss them, and it's just natural for us to want to be with them and to see them, and we hate, if you would, to let them go. But if you would, what a way to let them go, when we let them go into the presence of the Lord. We let them go into the arms of the Lord Jesus. And so he was instructing them that you don't need to be sorrowing as others which have no hope. We have a hope knowing that our loved ones in Christ, that one day we will see them again. So with that thought in mind, I want you to notice some things about the rapture of the believer taken out of this world into the presence of the Lord. First of all tonight, I want you to understand that you can rely on the certainty of his coming. It is a certainty that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now, this certainty is based on, verse number 14, based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For he says here, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, this truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is, again, that much more meaningful to us. Jesus came the first time, born of a virgin, went all the way to the cross, suffered and died, and then he was put in the tomb, he rose again. And he said, if I rise again, so shall you also rise. And so we find in the context here that this certainty of the coming of Jesus Christ is based on the saving work of Christ. There was a little boy who wanted to be baptized, and he met with the deacons to share his testimony of salvation. And basically the deacon said, well, little boy, how did you come to know Jesus as your Savior? And he simply replied and said, I did my part, and God did his. Well, that didn't satisfy the deacons. They weren't really sure that he understood. So they asked him again. And he said, well, I did my part and he did his. Still, that did not satisfy these deacons. They wanted more detail about how this little boy knew for sure that he was saved. And he said, all right, I'll explain it this way. I did the sinning, and God did the saving. Well, that is a beautiful way to just take salvation, narrow it down, that we did the sinning and God did the saving, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees for us the certainty of his coming. And we find that Christ's resurrection is a token of our resurrection as well. Now notice, if you would, that this certainty of his coming is also based on a sure word. Look at verse number 15. He says, for this we say unto you by what? By the word of the Lord. Did you know that one third of all of the Bible speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ? Now there are many prophecies in the Bible that have already been fulfilled. But this particular prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. Jesus said, if I go, I will what? I will come again. That is, again, a promise of the Lord as a certainty of his coming. There was one preacher that was just preaching away, and as he was preaching on the second coming of Jesus Christ, there was a cynic in the crowd, and he said, you know, you can't get that out of the Bible. To which the preacher replied, you're right, it's there, and you can't get it out. And you see, the coming of Jesus Christ is in God's word. Over one third of it is all about the coming of Jesus. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So I say to you tonight, church, that we can rely on the certainty of his coming. But with that in mind, I want you to notice now verse number 18. That secondly tonight, you can rest. You can not only rely on the certainty of his coming, but you can rest in the comfort of his coming. Look at this now, verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You do find there is comfort in the truth that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now think about this. Some people asked me early on when this coronavirus began here, as far as we know it in our country, they asked, "Preacher, do you believe that this is the end of the world?" No, I don't believe it's the end of the world, but I do believe that this is a precursor of things to come. When you begin to watch the events unfold before our very eyes. And for us as a church, this is the great reality, is that there is comfort in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this now. He says in verse number 16, he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend." Now this speaks of the majesty of his return. We are not looking, quote, for any old Joe to come. We are looking for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come to rapture us out of here, when we will be taken from this world into the very presence. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, when the disciples were just looking at the Lord descending back into heaven, or ascending back into heaven, excuse me. And the angel said this, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." He says he is going to come just as you have seen him go. He is going to come. And we find that here, the majesty of his return. I think about, if you go to Revelation, you don't have to go there, but if you were to read Revelation chapter 19, now you have the setting there of the world going through the time of the tribulation period. Then Jesus Christ comes, and he will come with 10,000 of his saints, and there'll be the great battle of Armageddon. And the Bible there, in that context, calls Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is our coming King. It is going to be a majestic scene when we are literally in his very presence. You read Revelation chapter 4 and you have the great scene of, again, the innumerable saints gathered round the throne worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to be with people I don't even know, but they're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are all gathered round the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get to just cast our crowns that we receive and we throw them back at his feet, if you would, and cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." What a day that's going to be. It's going to be a majestic scene. And we find in verse number 17, he talks about the mystery of the rapture. Notice what he says here. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, the phrase "caught up" is a word that means to be taken from one place to another. The Latin form of it would be rapture, that we are taken out of here and we're into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are no, according to the Word of God, there are no signs of the rapture. But we do realize that Jesus Christ is going to come. And he says here in this context in verse 17, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now think about this. I was talking with someone actually just last night about this, and how that the world already is talking about, you know, it comes and goes, this kind of talk, but it's coming up again, and the talk of aliens. You know, alien life force and all of this. And I thought, you know, one day I believe that when the rapture does finally take place, I believe the world, some are going to say, yeah, some spaceship came and got us and took us all out of here. But may I tell you, that's not accurate. We're not aliens. We're not strange people. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. And we are one day going to be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that doesn't excite you, church, I don't know what will. We're going to be able to be with him. And this has been one of my hopes for years, actually. But particularly as we are going through this time really around our world, and I hear talk and chatter of, you know, lot of things out there, and the global vaccine, and possibly what will come with that is a chip in our hand. And now you say, what's so significant about that? Well, if you know your Bible, the Bible does say that one day there will come a time without a mark in your hand or your forehead, you can't buy or sell. And they're already saying that if you don't get this global vaccine, you can't even go to work. You got to have this, quote, vaccine. Now listen to me. We as God's people, we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise concerning these things. We've got to be discerning about these things, because there's going to be more and more push toward this mark, if you would. And I'm not saying that is the mark of the beast, but you can see how that the world is being conditioned. And what a great opportunity, right? We have this great worldwide sickness, and everybody just needs to fall in line. Everybody just needs to just get right with it, and we're just going to be like a bunch of sheep, and we're just going to march right to that. Go ahead. Aha, be careful. Because the Bible, Jesus taught in Matthew, he says, if it was possible, even the very elect could be deceived. Now, as we understand the Word of God, we realize for us there is this mystery of the rapture where we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever. Now, I'm not looking forward to the mark. I'm not looking forward to any of that. I'm looking up. How about you? Jesus Christ is coming. Now, with that is this, the marvel of our reunion. Look now at verse 17 again. He says this, that we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Who? Those who have already died in Christ, those who have already preceded us in death. I'm going to see my dear grandmother again. She was such a faithful, godly lady here on this earth. I always enjoyed going to Grandma's house and just talking with her, or actually just listening to her, because I was brought up a little bit different than some young people are today. Better to be seen than heard, whether you agree with that philosophy or not. So, man, I just went around and I just listened. I enjoy being around old people. I'm not one of them, but I enjoy being around old people. But I tell you that my grandma was a godly lady. She had many, in fact, I have a set of her commentaries by the late Oliver B. Green. And she would just talk to me about the rapture of the church and how that we would be taken out. You know what? I'm a little bit jealous of my grandma. She's already been in the presence of our Savior. And you have some loved ones. I have some loved ones that are already into the very presence of Jesus. But the Bible says that we shall see them again. We're going to have a grand reunion. You love reunions, don't you? I mean, you get around, you eat till your belly hurts, and you eat some more. I mean, it's great, it's fun. I remember the Cannaday family reunion in southern Illinois. We'd go there almost every year after my grandpa had passed, and we'd get to, there was a lot of us, and so we would just have a big softball game, and man, it was a lot of fun. But I'm telling you, this is a reunion that you don't want to miss. Well, we won't miss it. We're saved, we're going to, the Bible says, our loved ones in Christ, they're going to rise first in the twinkling of an eye, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a day that will be. And we find in this context that we can rely on the certainty of His coming, we can rest in the comfort of His coming, but then notice this, again in verse number 17, is that we can respond to the challenge of His coming. Notice this now. He says to meet the Lord in the air. That word meet is an interesting word. It is a word that carries with the idea to go out and meet and greet a returning ambassador. Well, one day you and I are going to meet the Lord. Think about this now. For every one of us in this building tonight, and those of you watching by Facebook that are saved, you and I, for me it was 50 years ago, I took a step of faith and put my faith and trust in someone I've never met. Someone I have never seen. I only read about him and heard about him through the Word of God. I don't know what it's going to be like any more than you do. We can only imagine. You know that song, I Can Only Imagine? We can only imagine what it is really going to be like. But the reality is this, is as much as we want to see our loved ones in Christ who have already gone on before us, may I say that as Fanny Crosby wrote, I want to meet my Savior first of all. He's the one I want to see. He's the focal point. You read the book of Revelation. What's the title of the book? The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. And we find here, he says that we are going to meet the Lord in the air. And so I ask tonight, are you ready? Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? You see, if we're saved from that standpoint, we are ready. But as a Christian tonight, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you longing for the return of Jesus Christ? The Bible says this in 1 John 2. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, I want to be found all out for Jesus. I don't want to be half-hearted in my relationship with him. I don't want to just be casual in my relationship with him. I want to be, if you would, as close to him as I can be, so that when he comes, I will have confidence before my Lord. I won't, if you would, have to bow my head in shame. Yes, I'll be glad that I'm there because of salvation, but I don't want to be, if you would, just in by my chinny chin chin. I want to go there with great confidence that I get to see my Savior. And when I go before that bema seat, I want to be able, Lord willing, to be able to receive reward. Not for my pride, not for my boasting, but be able to take those rewards and say, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of it all. And we find in this context that the challenge that we need to respond to is that we are going to see Jesus. I started this message tonight with this thought. These young believers were disturbed. And you know what I have met over the last 9 weeks? A lot of disturbed people. I have met a lot of disturbed people. Afraid. I have met Christians who are afraid. Which kind of blows my mind a little bit. That some think we need to live in the bubble. Just put ourselves in a little box and wait till it all passes. But that is not how Jesus taught us to live. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I go, I will come again. He's saying, now what I want you to do, I want you to occupy. I don't want you to be full of fear. Is this virus real? Yes. Have people died from it? Yes. Have people gotten sick and recovered from it? Yes. Just like any other disease. So I'm not, if you would, downplaying it, but Jesus is not calling us, if you would, to hide in our houses and hope we never get it, because reality is you can get it going to the gas station, right? You can get it going to Meijer tomorrow if you go tomorrow. You can get it going to work tomorrow. We can't live our life in fear. We've got to live our life in confidence because Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. This is our blessed hope. And we are going to be raptured. We're going to be taken up out of this world. And I realize that there are people that are just greatly disturbed. And that's not how the Lord wants us to live. Again, is it concerning? Sure it is. But at the same point, and I don't believe it's being half foolish saying this. Be a better way of saying this. We've got to have confidence. Because truth of the matter is, none of us know how we're going out of this world. Right? God forbid this would happen tonight, but one of us could get in our car tonight and not make it home. Right? Or it could be that one day this week we don't wake up. We don't know how we're going out, but we do know we are going out. Because it is appointed that a man wants to die, but after this, the what? The judgment. So that time is going to come. So I have determined in my own heart, my own life, that God, I don't want to live in fear. I want to live in confidence. Because God, this is how you have designed it to be. And have the cares of the world weighed you down? Again, I have met a lot of disturbed people. Should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Should I wear gloves? Should I not wear gloves? Should I social distance even 13 feet, not just 6 feet? I mean, do you see how disturbing all of this gets after a while? And it's got people disturbed, greatly disturbed, where, I mean, I've been in a store where I've had people like walk away. It's like, I don't have the plague that I know of. I'm not assuming you have it either. But it's got people upset, they're disturbed, they're worried. This truth was given to us to give us confidence. To give us confidence. And maybe it has been these last few weeks that the cares of all of this have just weighed you down. Let me help you tonight from the scripture. Look up. Look up. Jesus said, I will come again. And I will tell you that is the only time, quote, this world is ever going to be virus-free. That's the only time. I mean, they keep giving out what every year? A flu vaccine, right? Give you a flu shot. I mean, here we are 40 years past when AIDS came on the scene, and they still don't have a vaccine for that. They've got medication for it to help treat it. But truth of the matter is, it's not only until we are in the presence of the Lord that there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more tears. But until that day comes, we live in this, if you would, as one preacher used to call it, the nasty now and now. But one day there will be the sweet by and by, when we will be in the very presence of our Lord. I want you tonight to look up to the Lord this week. I talked to you this morning about being aware of His presence. Keep, just practice that through the week, but also this week, rise each day and say, this may be the day Jesus is going to come. This may be the day that Jesus comes. I remember early on when this was happening here in our country, I heard a Christian say, you know, I don't really want to hear about the coming of Christ and the end times and that. And I didn't embellish it with them, but I thought, you ought to really want to talk about it. From this standpoint, this is your blessed hope. Remember the old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Amen? This world's not our final home. We're just passing through. There's laid up for me treasure beyond the blue. Thank God for that. And so tonight, there is another divine disruption that's going to come upon this earth. For us, it's the blessed hope, the rapture. But for those that are not saved, it will be a divine disruption. Those that will be left behind without Christ. And I believe God has been dealing in my heart to share with you some messages on what the end times. I started before, it's interesting, 2 weeks before COVID started here in our country. I started on Wednesday night a series entitled Future Events That Will Rock the World. No, I did not see into the future. But man, boom, 2 weeks after that, we're shut down. What an event that rocked the world. It literally has rocked the world. Well, there are yet future events that are going to rock the world. And if you tonight, particularly those of you that are on Facebook or listening that do not know Jesus, listen to me carefully. Come to know Jesus as Savior. Get ready. Be ready like that little boy that I gave an illustration about. You turn from your sin, you turn to God, trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because believe me, you don't want to be left behind. You want to be able to go up with the saints of the Lord, be ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the things that are going to come in and during the time of the tribulation will be fearful things. The Bible says that in Matthew, where Jesus talked about men's hearts failing them for fear. What does that mean? Have you heard of someone saying they were literally scared to death? Well, in the time of the tribulation, Jesus says their hearts will fail because they're so scared of what is happening on the earth. Thank God the church has the blessed hope. We will be raptured. We will be taken into the presence of the Lord. You have loved ones like I do that don't know Jesus. Keep praying for them. For us that are saved tonight, let us say, you know what? I'm packed. I'm looking up. Because Jesus is coming again. Let's pray together. Father, now tonight, I thank you for this great truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I go, he said to us, I will come again. And we believe this. We do not know when. Only you know the day nor the hour. But he is coming. And for those that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, may they come to know him as Savior and Lord of their life tonight. For those that are saved, from that perspective, they're ready. But Father, how I would pray that if there are those that are not in a right relationship with you as a Christian, they're not ready. They're not ready for the return of Jesus. The cares of this world have just crowded out thoughts of the return of Christ. How I'd pray that tonight in their life, that they would just repent of their sin and turn to the Lord. And draw back in sweet fellowship with you. And live their life this week in anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. I thank you so much tonight for this great promise, this certainty that we possess that Jesus Christ not may come again, he will come again. And so this week, help us as your children to be ready. Help us to be witnessing. Help us to be practicing the presence of the Lord in our thoughts and thinking about how that you are with us. You'll never forsake us. You'll never leave us. And for that, I'm thankful. And so I would ask that tonight, that the Holy Spirit of God would seal these things in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed tonight, as God has spoken to your heart, right where you're at, I ask you, are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready? Say, well, Pastor, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Well, how about your relationship with him? Is that right? Are you living close to him? Tonight, right where you are, won't you just take some time and say, Lord, deal in my heart. Cleanse me. Revive me. Refresh me. so that I can go from this building tonight a vessel fit for your use until Jesus comes. So, Father, tonight we look to you for strength. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.